And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. We'll read and consider this whole passage, and there's a few different ways that we could go with this text this afternoon. But the primary purpose for the message this afternoon is to encourage us in our Christian life to have the same kind of hunger and thirst for more of God in our own life like Moses did. Moses was talking to the Lord here when he said, Lord, show me thy glory. And I want us to walk through all of this here and again to encourage us to have the same kind of hunger, thirst, desire to have more of God in our life, more of his presence, more of his friendship, more of his hand at work in us, to draw closer to the Lord is the idea. And our text today comes on the heels of a very difficult time in Israel's history. Last time we were together in this portion of Scripture, we had seen how Israel had sinned a great sin in creating the golden calf, bowing down, worshiping it, if you will, all the things that went along with it. That has just happened. When you get into chapter 33, in verses 1 through 3, you see God's response to the people because of that situation. In verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed I will give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And note this, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. God's answer, God's reply to what has happened in chapter 32 is that he tells Moses, get up, go, take the people, go to the land that I've promised. I'm not going to go with you, lest I consume you in the way. I'll send an angel before you to drive the people out. God was going to keep his word to give the land to the people, but he said, because you're stiff-necked, because you're hard-hearted, because you're rebellious, because you're proud, I'm not going to go with you. That sends the people into great mourning. In verse 4, and when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. And no man did put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up in the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And so hearing God's reply that I'm not going with you sends the people into mourning. And God says, you're stiff-necked, you're hard-hearted, I'd consume you in the way. And it caused the people to mourn. And so we see God's response to them. But in contrast to the people, what you see developing in this chapter is an intimate relationship that Moses had himself with the Lord. In verse 7, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out under the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out under the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man in his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Now, we're going to stop right there for a second and do a little backtrack. Because the text tells us that God's presence came when Moses entered into that tabernacle. And God was there with Moses, and God spoke to Moses as a man speaks to his friend face to face. There's clearly implied some fellowship here. There's something here that is between God and Moses that the people certainly didn't have. And from the time that God spoke to Moses, way back in Exodus chapter 3, where God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, God had been in the process of time and in the process of circumstance. God had been developing this man. And what a different man he is now than he was back then. In Exodus chapter 3, in verse 6, when God spoke to Moses from the bush, the Bible says that God said, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Moses did not really know the Lord like he knows the Lord now. And when God spoke to him, he was afraid to look on God, and he hid his face. Moses was 80 years old when God spoke to him from the bush. And the text tells us he was afraid to look on God. When God spoke to him, though, back then, God promised Moses a few things. God promised Moses divine presence. God promised Moses divine power, and God promised Moses divine provision through all of what he was going to have him do in leading the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. When you read on in the narrative, as we've covered all of this time, Moses delivers Israel from Egyptian bondage, and he sees the fulfillment of God's promise of power. In chapter 7 through 12, we read how God sends the plagues on the nation of Egypt, and how God spared his own people from what was happening to the Egyptians. And Moses saw the fulfillment of God's power in delivering those plagues and then ultimately in their escape or their deliverance from bondage. They experienced the presence of God. When they were in the wilderness, they saw the cloudy pillar. In chapter 13, the presence of God was made known. They experienced the provision of God, just as he promised when God brought manna and gave them water from the rock in chapter 16 and chapter 17. God fulfilled all those promises that he made to Moses at the bush. 3 months after their deliverance from Egypt, God leads them to Mount Sinai. In chapter 19, turn to Exodus chapter 19 and verse 1. Exodus 19:1, "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mount, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel." And he goes on to tell them what you're going to say to the nation of Israel. So 3 months after their deliverance from Egypt, God leads them to Mount Sinai. And here, they would stay for a while. The Bible says they camped there, because God was going to reveal through Moses his perfect law. God was going to reveal through Moses his will for his people. God was going to reveal himself to the people as to the kind of God that he was. They didn't remember or know him. In chapters 19 through 31 of Exodus, God gives the Ten Commandments. God gives instructions for the tabernacle that they would build where they would worship the Lord. God gives instructions for the Ark of the Covenant, instructions for worship, and for the priests who conduct that worship. And a covenant with God is made. And all the people said, all that God has said, we will do. Moses has spent considerable time with the Lord receiving instruction from God for the people. In chapter 32, Moses ascends the mountain where he spends 40 days with God alone. It's during that time that the people sin in making themselves the golden calf to worship. We also read in chapter 32 how Moses hadn't even come down from the mountain and he intercedes for the people there. In fact, Moses intercedes two more times on behalf of the people up in the mountain. And through all of this time, what you see is Moses' relationship with God beginning to grow and to build. Many times he came before the Lord to intercede for the people or to hear instruction from the Lord as to what God wanted for the people. Many times between chapter 3 and chapter 33, we read these words, and God said, "Say unto the people." Moses was on behalf of the people before the Lord many times. And throughout all of that, Moses has gone from a man who was afraid to look upon God to a man who is concerned for the reputation of God among the nations, a man who reminded God of his covenants with his people, and a man who talked with God face to face as a man talks with his friend. What a different person he is than he was then. But there's something more. There's something more that's burning inside of Moses in this passage. Something beyond interceding for the people. Moses speaks to God in this passage, not on behalf of the people, but Moses speaks to God for himself. And he wants to know God and experience God for himself in a more intimate way than he ever has before. And that's the direction that I want to go for the rest of this passage. If you'll go back to chapter 33, I want you to note, first of all, in verses 7 through 11, the tent meeting with Moses. In verse 7 again, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood, every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up to worship, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Then the text says, and he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now, the text tells us that Moses pitched a tabernacle without the camp. The word translated as tabernacle here, it literally means a tent. And what this is telling us is this, even though this was called the tabernacle of the congregation, this tabernacle was not the coming official tabernacle that is described in the preceding chapters that was soon to be constructed. This one was a special tent in which Moses had met God in the meantime. And all the text tells us that all those who were seeking the Lord during this interval went to this tabernacle or to this tent. And Moses, as well, in view of all the people, went out to this tabernacle. And then the Bible says, when he did that, in verse 9, that when he entered in, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door, and the Lord talked with Moses. What this tells us is that once again, God is demonstrating his approval of Moses and Moses' leadership. Israel also worshiped the Lord, but they did that afar off. They did that from their own tent door toward the Lord. But what is noteworthy about this is how the Lord spake to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Clearly, what is implied here is that there was personal fellowship between God and Moses. And in the time that Moses had spent with God in these prior months, from the time that he told him what he was going to do, how he was going to lead the nation out, and the times that he got instruction from the Lord, the times that he went on behalf of the people, all that time that he spent alone with God produced fellowship with God inside of him. Not only had a relationship been established, but a fellowship with God had been established. And there's a lesson in this for us, because time spent alone with God produces fellowship with God. That in turn develops into friendship with God, which becomes then the basis for future fellowship with God. Time spent with the Lord and the presence of the Lord is what really makes all the difference. Listen, you can't get to know someone without spending time with them. You certainly cannot have intimate fellowship with somebody without much time spent learning them, who they are. All the time that Moses had spent with the Lord produced a relationship, which then produced fellowship. It's also of note here that the text tells us that Joshua, the son of Nun, evidently he went into the tabernacle with Moses. And what you know about Joshua at the time is he's essentially his assistant. And we find here that when Moses left the tent, notice it in verse 11, in the middle of verse 11, and he turned again into the camp. So Moses leaves the tent. But then the text says that his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Essentially, what this is telling us, or what is implied here, is that Joshua lingered in the presence of God. And implied here is that the reason Joshua did not leave the presence of God was because Joshua hungered and thirsted for ongoing fellowship with his God as well. And again, there's an example that remains for us, that time spent in the presence of God is what develops fellowship and relationship with God. And so let me ask you the question, how much time do you seek to just linger in the presence of God yourself? I mean, we're busy, and we got our schedules, and we got our things that we do. How much time do we give to really linger in the presence of God? In verses 12 through 18, we find the intercession of Moses here. In verse 12, the Bible says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight. And consider this, that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Here we see Moses expressing his heart's desire as he is reacting to what the Lord had declared in verse 3. When God said, take the people, go up to the land. I'm not going with you. I'll send an angel to drive them out, but you go. I'm not going with you. Moses is reacting to what God has said. And he says in verse 12, Lord, you said that you're not going to go with us. You said, bring this people up. But you haven't shown me who you're going to send in your place. And you've said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Lord, you've said all of those things. And so, in effect, what we're seeing here is that Moses is interceding. He's praying to the Lord, and this prayer reflects his heart's desire for himself, that he wants to be in the presence of God. He said, if you don't go with us, then I don't want to go. First of all, we note here in verses 12 and 13 that he prays to know the ways of the Lord. He said in verse 13, Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. Essentially, Moses says, you said you aren't going with us, but you haven't told me who you're going to send in your place. You also told me that you know me by name and I've found grace in your sight. If that's true, then show me your way so that I can know you, so that I can understand you. In other words, he's hungering to understand God and his ways more clearly. He says, help me understand your ways. Help me understand how you operate so I can know you deeper. What was God's reply to that? Verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Now that's different than what the Lord said in verse 3. Verse 3, he said, I'm not going with you. But now, in verse 14, he's saying, my presence will go with you. Do you remember back in chapter 32 when God said, get down off the mountain. Your people have sinned. And I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to destroy them. But then Moses said, Lord, turn, repent from this evil that thou hast in thy mind against the people. Like, how is your reputation going to be among the nations if you destroy these people? And the text tells us that God repented, God changed his mind because Moses interceded. And once again, in chapter 33, it appears that God alters his course again as a direct result of the intercession of Moses. Earlier, he had told Moses that he would no longer go in their midst, but here God seemingly has changed his mind. And it appears that the change of plan on God's part was motivated by the intercessory prayer of Moses. Friend, that has some profound implications for you and for me. And what is that? The implication is that prayer can change things. Prayer and intercessory prayer especially can change things, even desperate things. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where there was nothing that you could do except pray and trust the Lord, and then you saw God change the course of things? What growth points those are in the Christian life. If you have not experienced that before, maybe you don't understand what I'm talking about, but if you have, what growth points those are in the Christian life when we have nothing to do but pray and ask the Lord to do something that only God can do, and we say, God, change the course of things. What does it do? It grows our faith. It grows our confidence in God. It draws us ever closer to Him in our relationship, that this God that I say I serve, He is real. It's not just words on a page. It's not some concept of religion. He is my God, and he has heard my cry. Do you know what I'm talking about? He prays to know the way of the Lord. He says, help me understand your way so that I can know you better. In verses 15 and 16, he prays for God's presence. Look at verse 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. God told Moses earlier that he would send an angel to take Moses and the people into the promised land. But that wasn't enough. That wasn't the heart of Moses. Moses says, the thing that makes us different, the thing that separates us from all other peoples in the world is the very presence of God. Is it not in that you go with us? Isn't that what makes us distinct and different? Moses says he doesn't want to go on if God isn't with them. He would rather stay there at Mount Sinai than go on without God and experience this promised land, but without the presence of the Lord. You know, life lived without the presence of God is an empty and meaningless life. Christian, we miss out on the presence of God, though we'll never lose our salvation, We miss out on the presence of God for the very same reason the people of Israel did. Why did God say, I'm not going to go with you? Because you're a stiff-necked or stubborn and rebellious people. We miss out on the presence of God in our life for the very same reasons. Sin, pride, hard-heartedness, stubbornness. When God is working, trying to work, and we keep saying no, or keep resisting Him, not yielding to Him. Moses said, Lord, if you don't go, I don't want to go. What was God's reply to that? Verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Implied is the close fellowship which had developed between God and Moses here. He said, all right, Moses, I'll do this thing that you're asking as well. Moses wanted the presence of God. And listen, the potential for us is that we can have a relationship with God, a close relationship, and have the presence of God through Christ today. 1 John 1:3 says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We can have the same kind of fellowship and presence of God. But then you get to verse 18. And something different is here. In verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. This request that Moses makes is pretty amazing for a man who earlier was afraid to look upon God in the burning bush. And now he's saying, Lord, I want something more. I want something different. I want you to show me your glory. But what he's really praying for is that he might know the Lord more intimately for himself than ever before. Notice the words that are used here. The word show. It has the meaning of to see. But really it carries the meaning of something different than just seeing. Or showing. It carries the meaning of having an experience. To be near. To experience it. Not just to view it. Not just to see it. But to know it from experience. That's what the word means. Show me thy glory. The word glory means splendor. It means honor. In verse 12, he said, show me thy way. But here is something completely different. What he's saying is, I don't want to just see your glory. I don't want to just view it. I want to experience it. I want to be a part of it. I want it in my own life. It's like you can watch a football game from your couch. You can see it and view it on TV. And that's one thing. But it's a completely different thing to actually be in the middle of the game. It's a different thing to be playing the game. It's a different thing to experience it because you're part of it. Implied here, again, is that Moses had seen the power of God. Moses had experienced the provision of God. But what he really wanted more than anything else was to know the person of God. This was a man who loved God and wanted to know Him even more. He wanted to experience and be near the splendor of the Almighty God. Far different from the man who was standing at the burning bush. Do you see the growth in Moses' life? Do you see the change because of time spent with the Lord? What was God's response to that? Well, verse 19 says, "And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." God's response to Moses was, "All right, Moses, I'll have all of my goodness pass before you." The word goodness means beauty. "I'll have all of my beauty pass before you, but you can't see my face and still live. But here's this place where you can stand, that I will pass by you and I'll cover you with my hand. And as I pass by and my glory passes by you, I'll remove my hand and what you can see is my back parts." We think about that, and it's like, I try to imagine that. I try to imagine the heart of this man who says, "Lord, I want to know you more than what I've seen. And I've seen your power, and I've seen your provision. But Lord, I'm not coming on behalf of the people. I want this for myself in my own life. I want to experience you and your glory in my own life for myself." And God says, "Moses, you can't see my face. You can't handle it. You're not going to be able to live, but I will do something for you. I'll give you a glimpse of me. I'll let you see me differently and know me more. And you can stand in this place and I'll cover you, and I'll have all of my goodness pass before you, and I'll let you see my back parts." I try to imagine all of that, and I think in my mind, what an awesome experience and privilege that must have been for Moses. That he would get a fuller glimpse and understanding of God because he asked. Moses wasn't allowed to see God's face and live. So when verse 11 says that God talked with Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend, he wasn't seeing the face of God. He was in the presence of God with the Spirit of God. Because God says, "You can't actually see all of my holiness. You can't see my face and live." But it reminded me of something. All of God's glory was too much for Moses to see. But the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 1 that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." What Moses was not allowed to behold, we can see in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:3 says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person." We behold that in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so listen, the principle is, and the application is, to have the same desire as Moses, that we would behold the glory of God, that we would be able to experience more of God. The application is, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. We need to grow closer to Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. What I'm saying is, you want to hunger and thirst for a closer relationship with God, you need to draw close to Jesus Christ. And may the Lord give us still the same hunger to meet with God, that we would not be satisfied with going through the motions of religious experience. I'm so sick. I am so sick of just going through motions. I'm sick of just being religious. I don't want to be hypocritical. I want to live out what I say I believe. I want to know the Lord. But we can be so satisfied and self-righteous. We go to church and we live out the religious experience and we do the things. And we're content with that. Because, see, I'm spiritual. But where's the hunger to know the person of God? Where's the hunger to walk closer to Him? May the Lord give us the same kind of hunger, that we would seek to know Him in still more intimate ways than we ever have before. I'll close with this. Christian, church member, how is your relationship with God? Would you ask yourself that question, please? Right now. Do some self-examination. How is your relationship with God? I know where I'm at. And to be quite honest, I'm not very pleased. But I think even more than that, maybe the Lord's not pleased. Do you experience His power or His presence in your life? Does that draw you, compel you to know the person of God in a more intimate way? Lord, I want to be closer to You. Imagine what God could do with a church full of people who were truly friends with God, whose lives shine with the glory of God. You know, He will show Himself to us if we'll spend time with Him and we'll let Him. Child of God, are you sitting back and observing God in this place? Do you take part of what God is doing simply because you're a member here? Or do you crave to be near Him, to be right in the middle of it, to have it directly in your life? To have God using you to make a difference in someone else's life. To have God using you to make a difference of what's happening here in the body, in this church. Or do you just kind of sit back and observe it? Because we're faithful and we come to church and we give our money and we do the things. Our religious experiences. Moses so desired to know God one-on-one for himself. And he says, Lord, show me your glory. I want to experience it, not just see it. I've seen the power of God and the provision of God, but Lord, I want to know you, the person of God. The Lord granted that, by the way. Do you know what the epitaph of Moses' life was? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. And look at verse 10. Deuteronomy 34:10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. That label, that goes far beyond any miracle or work that God did through Moses. God worked miracles through him. He cast down his rod and became a snake and ate up all the other snakes. He used that same rod and it parted the Red Seas and smote the rock and water came out. And God did a lot of miracles and works through Moses. But this label, that there arose not a prophet in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, that was because he had a special relationship with God. And let me tell you, there's a definite difference between being a child of God and truly experiencing the intimacy of a filial relationship with him. God wants us to have that kind of relationship, but it takes a process and time spent. And God is interested in the process and in the time spent because of what he wants to accomplish in our life through it. Moses started out as somebody who was afraid to look upon God, to a man who said, "Lord, I want to know you in more intimate ways than I've ever known you before. I want to experience you in my life. I want to be in the middle of it." And the Bible says that God knew him face to face. Does the Lord know you face to face? What a remarkable thing. Do you hunger and thirst and long to know God in a deeper way? Or are you pretty content with the religious activity? You understand? Show me thy glory. Lord, I want to experience it, not just see it. We're going to get into chapter 34. Next week. And what we're going to see is Moses spending time alone with God again. And the effect it had on him. And the effect that it had on other people who saw it. And we're going to consider, again, Moses' relationship with God. Let's pray and ask the Lord to work in our own heart. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for examples in scriptures and the heart of Moses here. I can only say is something that I desire, but Lord, fall short in so many times. He wanted to know the ways of God. He wanted to understand how the Lord operates so he could know him. He wanted the presence of God. Life lived without the presence of God is an empty, meaningless life. He wanted to experience the glory, the beauty, the splendor of the Almighty God, to be right in the middle of it. It just seems like he hungered and longed to know God in ways he'd never known before. But we see that you grew him. You brought him up. You changed him from a man who was afraid to look upon God to a man who was hungering after the person of God. We need the same thing. Many of us have been saved a long time. And it's sad if I say in my life that there were times when I wanted to know and be in the presence of God more than I do now. Lord, I pray that you'd give us the same heart. That you'd work in us to that degree. That we could be the friend of God. Have fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And then be used of God to make a difference in other people's lives. when Moses went up to the mountain and he spent time alone with God, the Bible says he came down and his face shone. He didn't even know it. He didn't even know the full effect of his time spent with the Lord, but other people could see it. And it caused them to fear. Lord, may our lives, because of time spent with you, so reflect your image that other people would see and know that we've been with Jesus. Help us, Lord, to get past ourselves. Help us, Lord, to get past our own self-righteousness, to get past our own religiosity, even to get past the doing of things, to hunger and to thirst for more of you and your person and your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.